You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
2,000 years ago, Jesus ascended gloriously into heaven. As we joyfully anticipate His return, you can live with confidence. Salvation is drawing near.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty God, eternal and merciful Father, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee. Have mercy, O Lord, on all who seek Thy pardon. According to Thy loving kindness, blot out our transgressions. Wash thoroughly and cleanse from sin all who acknowledge their transgressions. Restore unto Thy people the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold them with Thy free Spirit. We are encouraged, O Lord, by Jesus' first coming 2,000 years ago, and we wait with joyful expectation His glorious return and our redemption. In Jesus' saving name we pray, Amen. 40 days after Jesus rose victoriously from the dead, He ascended triumphantly and gloriously into heaven. The Savior's dramatic departure could certainly have smashed the dreams of His disciples and instantaneously removed all hopes for future believers. But instead, the angels, clothed in white, present at the ascension, promised the Savior's followers that this same Jesus, which was taken up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. This promise has been the fervent hope of Christians for centuries. The angels were not making a new announcement. They were echoing Jesus' earlier proclamation that the Son of Man shall come in glory, and all the holy angels with Him. In spite of the clear teachings of the Holy Scriptures on the second coming of Jesus Christ, numerous letters to our counseling department reveal great confusion among our listeners. We constantly receive requests for reliable information on this subject. Many today are victims of false teaching and confused preaching. All too often, these heretical teachings represent erroneous theories presented by preachers and teachers whose primary goal is to attract followers and financial support. This is done by proclaiming sensational doctrines designed to play upon emotions and heartstrings. Countless authors of religious books have also discovered an enormous gold mine, a lucrative market for all types of man-made ideas about the imminent return of our Lord. Concerning these false teachings, the Bible warns not to be carried away by various and strange teachings. Yes, indeed, one must certainly be aware of the frenzied attempts of religious hucksters seeking to make money off the public's deep-felt religious needs. But we must also never overreact to the extent that we remain silent and say nothing concerning the second coming of our Lord. Clergymen and teachers are clearly admonished in the Word of God to diligently set forth and to unswervingly proclaim the importance of the biblical doctrine that, just as in His first advent, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, so also He shall usher in the second advent when He returns in glory. We are also encouraged to comfort one another with this knowledge. To eagerly await the glorious return of Jesus Christ seems foolish to some people. Unbelieving theologians and doubting preachers of every generation have dismissed and even made fun of the idea of anticipating the return of the divine Son of God. But the Holy Scriptures powerfully and without exception admonish all believers to comfort one another with the joyful promise that the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. For many skeptics, doubters, and unbelievers, the very thought of Jesus' return as a righteous judge strikes fear in their hearts. Like disobedient children, those who have denied the Savior or remain callously indifferent to His loving call fear the consequences of their sinful actions. But to those who believe, the Savior's glorious return is anticipated with joy like that of a lost and lonely child awaiting the love and warmth of his rescuing parents. Oh, how badly words of certain hope and consoling comfort provided by the knowledge of Jesus' return are needed in our society today. During an interview several weeks ago by a major magazine, a well-known author of bestseller books confessed, "I don't know where the blackness in my life comes from. There is a great deal of sadness." Yes, may everyone now suffering from discouragement and depression hear the totally reliable biblical promise that there waits for all believers in the Savior a glorious destiny free from the burdening pressures and strangling worries of life. This gift of grace is described in the book of Revelation as a place where all believers will neither hunger nor thirst anymore. The sun will not beat down upon them, nor any heat. The Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be their shepherd. He will guide them along the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Perhaps as a young person listening today, you have had some of the same feelings expressed by a young lady who wrote her parents. She said, "Please pray for me. I'm facing some big questions. What am I doing in life and where am I going?" Young people, for a solid and immovable anchor in a life of increased uncertainty and for a sure hope of eternity, follow the loving advice of St. Paul who proclaimed, "Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth." This does not mean that you must cut off or seclude yourself from society. Christians enjoy the abundant life God has promised, not because life is easy, but because they can live with the unshakable knowledge of ultimate victory as a result of their concrete hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter whether you are a child, a teenager, a young adult, or any other age, for certain meaning and clear direction in your life, may I encourage you to diligently read and study the Bible. The Holy Scriptures are helpful in many ways in life. But most important, they are able to make one wise unto salvation. As a result of your biblical studies, may you be able to joyously proclaim with a state university student who recently confessed, "Reading the Bible is the beginning of hope and the end of futile despair." The comfort offered by Jesus' return is not limited to those who are now enjoying good health, those who can go to church each Sunday, those who can rejoice in the preaching of the Word, serve others, and enjoy the many blessings of life. The comfort of Jesus' return is also for those who are confined to a bed, a wheelchair, a rest home, or to anything else which limits movement. If you are one of these, may you receive encouragement from the words of Jesus as He says to you, "Everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, And I myself, Jesus says, will raise him up on the last day. Yes, your troubles may be many. Life itself may appear to be more than you can handle. Perhaps you have even considered ending it all by taking your life. No, don't let the devil drown you in despair or self-pity. Trust completely in the eternal and reliable promise of Jesus when he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them," Jesus said, "and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." By the power God is giving you, cast all your doubts aside and proclaim victory in your life with the divinely inspired confidence voiced by Job. Has there ever been anyone who has suffered so much as this Old Testament hero? His children were taken from him. His fields, his cattle, and all his goods were removed. He even suffered great illness. But in spite of all of this, he proclaimed with confidence, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God." The hope-giving knowledge and the faith-building facts that Jesus will soon return are not just religious superstition, concocted by the insecure and those unable to face life. For centuries, the Christian church has publicly confessed, with neither hesitation nor apology, that Jesus ascended into heaven, that he rules at the right hand of God, and that he shall come again in glory to judge both the quick and the dead. When her husband John Lennon died, Yoko Ono wrote a 5-line note to her husband's fans. It said, "I saw John smiling in the sky." Apparently, Yoko Ono claimed to see things in the sky, others did not. But when Jesus returns, his second coming will be hidden from no one. The Bible proclaims in Revelation chapter 1, "Jesus is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even," the Bible says, "those who pierced him." All people, including those who nailed Jesus to the cross, and including John Lennon, who made negative remarks about the Christian faith, will witness the Son of God's return in majesty and power. Yes, no matter whether you are at this moment a believer or an unbeliever, you must ponder the importance of the certain second coming of Jesus Christ for your life. Let no one confuse you. Remember this: Jesus will return for a very definite purpose. Listen as I read directly from the Bible what will take place on that day. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." The Bible continues by saying, "Then he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he also say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these," the Bible says, "shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous," the Bible says, "into life eternal." Yes, the central teaching of the Second Advent is that Jesus will return to take his followers to be with him in heaven forever. To realize that Jesus will judge you and me can be a very scary and even despairing thought. But our Lord wants no one to be lost and condemned eternally. Out of love, God directed his wrath for our sins on his Son Jesus when the Savior died on the cross of Calvary. For those who accept God's mercy and trust in the saving power of his Son, the final day of judgment need not be a fearful thought. All who trust completely in the saving power of Jesus Christ can look forward with joyful anticipation to the day when Jesus shall return. Our Savior's words are recorded in the Gospel of Luke when he says, "But when these things began to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption, your salvation, is drawing near." Remember, God does not hate you. He loves you, in spite of your mistakes, your sins, and your failures. And your Heavenly Father is now pleading with you to turn from your sins and to trust completely in His grace and His mercy. At this moment, Jesus is preparing a mansion for you in heaven. When God created the world, it was perfect in every respect. But the curse of sin, caused by our rebellion, ruined God's beautiful creation. And so, out of His love and mercy, our Lord is now preparing a new place where all who believe and trust in His Son, Jesus, will be able to spend eternity in His presence. Jesus is speaking to you today when He says, "I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." As a preacher, one must always be careful not to paint a false picture of gloom and despair. But it is no secret that feelings of uncertainty, despair, and loneliness are taking root in the hearts and homes of many individuals. This is evidenced by the new interest in country and Western music. According to Newsweek magazine, radio programmers, eager to grab a growing market, have rushed to switch formats. Last year, some 300 stations, old and new, began playing nothing but country music. Why is this? A large Los Angeles station, which used to play only rock, now plays only country music. The general manager pointed out that when times are bad, people tend to look backward. People reach back to the good old days. There is nothing wrong with country and Western music, but rather than looking backward, rather than singing the blues and letting our lives be governed by lyrics of broken hearts, broken romances, mistakes, and failures, let us look ahead with joy and anticipation. Let our lives be filled with the powerful words of hope, like those found in the great Christian hymns. One hymn writer proclaimed, "Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates. Behold, the King of glory waits. The King of kings is drawing near. The Savior of the world is here. Life and salvation He doth bring. Wherefore, rejoice and gladly sing." Yes, even in the midst of His greatest problems, trials, and tribulations, St. Paul, possessing the absolute assurance of heaven, stated, "The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Writing to the church at Corinth, St. Paul again proclaimed the unshakable hope of the Christian faith when he said, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus." No, don't delay any longer. Freely confess your sins, your mistakes, and your failures to your gracious and loving Heavenly Father. Because of His Son's perfect sacrifice, your Lord will take you back. He will strengthen and encourage you. Then, with the absolute assurance that your sins have been forgiven, have no fear of Jesus' second coming in judgment. To all who follow Him, Jesus proclaims, "Lift up your heads, because your redemption, your salvation, is drawing near. Amen."